Well, the Bible says, and this is an appropriate verse for what we just heard, Psalm 85:6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And we just heard testimonies about God doing a reviving work in their hearts. And may that be the case with us as well. Join with me as we sing, "Set My Soul Afire." As I seek to win. That's an important message. Okay, here we go. On the second.
Set my soul afire, Lord, for the lost in sin. Give to me a passion as I seek to win. Help me not to falter. Never let me fail. Fill me
for us. So if you would turn your attention to the screens as Pastor Bruce gives a welcome to Brother Fisher.
Hey, church family. Pastor Bruce again, and I am trusting that we have already had a great Sunday evening service tonight. And I know that the testimonies and the report from the Colorado Teen Extreme was no doubt a blessing to all of us to be able to hear. It is my privilege to be able to introduce our preacher for tonight, one of our own, Brother Eric Fisher. And Brother Fisher has been just a faithful man over the past 3 years that I've gotten to know him. I appreciate his testimony and his walk with the Lord and his servant's heart and really willing to just jump in and serve in any way that he can and be a blessing to his church family. And he sure has been a blessing to me and to our church. And I know God's given him a message to be able to give us tonight. And so get out your Bible and get ready to hear what God has in store for us tonight. Hey, church family. Pastor Bruce here.
See, I'll use this one. This one is okay. Kind of wish Pastor was here tonight just because I look up to him so, and I would want him to be proud of me. I know he's going to watch it online. But it's not just about earning the pastor's respect. It's about earning God's respect. And I've grown a lot here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in the last 3 years. I really feel like my walk has grown. I feel like I've got a new perspective in life. And I was supposed to get up here and preach on David's mighty men, and I just decided that's probably not what I'm going to preach about. Luke chapter 10, turn to Luke chapter 10. The last couple of weeks have been a little bit of a up and down for a lot of us. Just some unexpected things have happened, and we've lost some dear friends, and what's amazing is that Christ loves us all the same. Jesus, in fact, loves us all the same. He loves us, each and every one of us, the same. And you think sometimes, well, this person has all this stuff. God must really be blessing them over there and really love them. Well, no, he loves us all the same. It's just different times, different things happen, different seasons, different things happen. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and 39 is what I'm going to be reading. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she should help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, I just pray that your hand would come over the message, Father, and that you would remove me. Take me out of the way, Lord, and just allow the verses in Scripture to teach the point that I'm trying to get across. I pray your Holy Spirit would just bear witness and minister to the people who have needs in this room, including myself. In your name I pray. Amen. A couple weeks ago, a pastor asked me to, he said, you know, we're going to Africa, and he said, would you be interested in preaching? And I said, Pastor, you got to be kidding me. I got to pray about that. And he said, well, Zach's preaching the following week. And I said, I'll do it. No problem. If Zach's going to do it, I'm going to do it, you know, for sure. So I said, the praying's over, Pastor. I'll preach. So here I am. I didn't walk out. One thing that really struck me about this passage of Scripture is it's something that the Lord's teaching me. So as I give you the message, would you just keep in mind that this is something the Lord's working with me on, and it's not me just preaching to you and saying this is something you should do. This is something that the Lord's working with me on. So my question, first point, or I'm not college learned, so my first point basically is, what is stealing your attention from Jesus today and letting bitterness sneak in? Martha in this passage was very concerned on the meal. She was very concerned on having it right, and there was nothing wrong with that. Have you ever been in a family meal where you're about to have biscuits and they got the jelly out and everything, and someone goes, oh, what about this? And they run over there and they take care of that, and they come back and, okay, now can we pray? And they go, oh, what about this? And they run off, and 20 minutes later, those biscuits are cold. You know what I mean? And the steak, it's getting cold, and you're like, man, this isn't medium rare anymore. This is cold steak. And they're still trying to get it perfect. They want 7 pieces of ice in every cup. You know what I mean? They want the fork, that salad fork's got to be on the left side. And on the right side, you know, at this point in time, Jesus had just got to town. Jesus was looking forward to spending some time with some people that he loved. And to be honest, I don't know if Jesus was that concerned about the meal. Now, that's just what I think. But I think Jesus was more concerned about the spending of the time with him. Martha was running around and trying to get things done. The problem was not with what she was doing. The problem was her perspective of what she was doing. The problem was not that Martha wasn't where Mary was at, but Mary was worshiping. And when we come to serve Christ, what we need to do first and foremost is make sure that our worship to Christ is proper. If our worship to Christ is proper, then we can serve him with a good attitude. Have you ever come into the church? I'll be honest, I was working at McDonald's the last 8 weeks, and every morning I was coming in at 3 a.m., like you say, and 3:30 a.m. would come around, and this lady would come in, and she'd go, "Oh, it's going to be one of those days." This was every day. And I thought to myself, she's not going to do this Monday through Friday. Those are my days, right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Friday came around and I said, "Hey, you're going to have a good day." Somebody didn't put the pickles out. Somebody, the tomatoes aren't right for the sandwiches. And I thought, oh my goodness. It wasn't anything I could change. It was just something, that's the way that person's going to be. And I thought, I'm going to have to learn to deal with this person. But when she would come in the morning, she'd say, "Did you change those soda valves?" And I'd think, I don't have to change the soda valves till 7 a.m. Why is she asking me that at 4 a.m. in the morning? I have 3 hours till I have to think about that. Some of you say, "Oh my goodness, Eric Fisher, you were working at McDonald's." Well, I had to make ends meet during the winter. God's been really good to me this year already. I have an LLC, started my own business, stopped working there. Things are picking up. God's blessing. Sometimes we just have to go and do the $15 an hour job for 8 weeks and just get through it, you know? Some of us made commitments that we have to keep. And for some of us, I know it's a sacrifice. I know it's not just a commitment where we're like, "Well, Lord, we're going to give you a little extra." We're like, "Okay, I got this envelope, and that's the boat fund right there. And I got this envelope, and that's the build fund." And at the beginning of the month, I go, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to put a little in the boat fund, and I'm going to put a little in the build fund." And at the end of the month, the Lord convicted my heart. And I'm like, "All right, the boat fund can wait. I'll put it over in the build fund. It's going to be all right." And you know what? The Lord's blessing me. He's taking care of me. He's been good to me. So here was Martha saying, "Lord, are you going to help me out or not?" You know, when we come into church in the morning, you ever notice that the pastor's real busy on Sunday morning? Sunday morning's not the right time to go, "Hey, pastor, I've been having this marriage problem, and it's time to talk to you about that 5 minutes before the message." This one time, I come in here in the morning, and it was probably 20 minutes beforehand, and this guy that I didn't know had a gun on, and he was back here in the back, and he was, "Pastor Bruce, I gotta talk to you. And I heard Sister Tar say, "Go run interference, get him away from the pastor. The pastor's got to think about the message." And I'm just putting in my little two bits, but don't talk to the pastor just before the message about something like that. And I feel like that's how kind of Jesus felt when Martha walked into the room. And here was Mary, somebody that always sat at Jesus' feet. Mary, if you notice, 3 or 4 times in the Bible, it talks about she took out the precious ointment. She wiped it on she put it on his feet and wiped it with her hair. Then she went through the house, and what happened? Judas, he came through and he said, "Oh, we could have sold that for a lot of money. Leave it to Judas to say something like that." And Jesus said, "You don't know what you're talking about. That's for my burial. Mary's been sitting at my feet, abiding." Once you abide and once you get that Holy Spirit felt testimony with the Lord, you come out of the garden. Well, the rest of the day, you're just waiting to go back into the garden with him. There's a communion that happens with him that's just precious. You know, David, if you think about who in the Bible was mentioned a lot, David was talked about probably more than anybody in the Bible. In fact, Psalms, I think, is the longest book in the Bible, and that's all about worship. It talks about worship, and I know sometimes we go verse by verse. I'm hoping that he doesn't do Psalms. It'd take for a year to do that one, but it's all about worship. And you got that one, did you? Okay. It's all about worship. You know, David's mentioned more than Abraham, Samuel, Noah. Remember when David was in trouble, big trouble with the king, and his friend Jonathan brought him the news? David trusted his friend Jonathan. Jonathan was the one supposed to get the kingdom. He was next in line. Can you imagine being next in line and someone saying, this guy over here is going to be king, and by the way, he's going to be your best friend, and by the way, you're going to take him news of your father not killing him. You're going to take him the news that it's okay. You, as the son, you know, that's what Jonathan did. What a good friend that was. And I am nervous up here. Man, I'm shaking my voice. I feel like you leading song leading. Amen. You can preach, and I can lead song leading, but I can't preach. I'm not going to say the rest of it. Brother Reese is such a blessing around here, isn't he? Got to be honest. When he first came here, I thought, how is he going to fill the shoes of some of the other people around here? Brother Burkett, I've watched him. I've come over here early in the morning and watched him come through here at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, studying his Bible. I thought, how is Brother Reese going to kind of keep up with Brother Burkett? And let me tell you something. They're running a race, these guys. They're going, and it's a good example for us. Some of the staff members that have been here a long time have been running the race a long time, and it was up to them to decide who would run the race next. And now we're getting to watch some of those guys run the race, and we're like, wow, that's how you run the race. It's amazing, right? And I'm just proud to be a layman at this church. To be honest, they don't use that term a lot up here, but I like it because when I was growing up, my dad was always appreciative of the layman. My father was a pastor, and when I was a young kid, I'm jumping through the notes now, but when I was a young kid, he stood up in front of the church, and he said, I'm going to say something tonight I haven't ever said. He said, tonight, I want to just come out and say, me and my wife are going to live and die at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I thought, what? You're going to live and die here at the church, Dad? You know, I was about 8 years old. And I didn't realize what he was saying. And when I turned 15, he said it again, and I heard someone say, he's crazy. Wow, he's going to live and die right here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. You know, some of you are now at the age where you're going to live and die right here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And it might be a commitment that you haven't made yet, but you might have made it in your heart. But you can actually make that commitment to God. And you can say, you know, Lord, I'm going to live and die right here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. This is where it's going to be it for me. And right now in my life, I don't know where God has for me next, but right now, this is where God has me. I'm not saying the statement, I'm not going there like my father did, but he's still there. I'm 42 years old now, 43, I think, and my father's still at the same church, still serving faithfully, still going at it, still tithing, not the pastor anymore, not even a deacon. He's a church member. My dad's a church member with my mom, and they're serving in a church after 40 years. What a great testimony. We've got some of those testimonies around here. Brother Steve Chappell, my dear friend, saw him every day when I drive home. He was right there at the tractor barn working on one of his engines, you know, one of his tractors. And if you ever said, hey, Steve, I just want to ride with you, he'd say, well, hop up and ride. And 2 hours later, you'd still be riding with him and just talking. What a good man. What a good testimony. Leaves some big shoes to fill. We all could step up and say, you know what? I'm going to go up to someone I don't know today and write their name down in my Bible and figure out what their name is so next week I can talk to them again. Some of us need to learn from that, you know? So here was Martha asking God to basically jump into the life of everybody around. Have you ever been in a room when someone comes in and the spirit goes out of the room because whatever they're doing is so encumbering that everything just changes? Remember I was talking about biscuits and gravy? I think I was talking about biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and jelly at lunch, and that one person's like, you know, I just want to get this right. And if the apple cider isn't right, we can't have the meal. And all that stuffing's got to come out of the turkey just right. Just cut that thing, man. Let's eat, you know. My next point is, who are you worshiping besides the master? I remember growing up and watching a man's word. I remember when a guy would just shake your hand and say, rent's $1,200 a month, and there's no contract. And that's just the way it was. And you know, around the church house, when you give a man your word, or ladies, when you give ladies your word, you ought to mean it. It ought to be something you just take lightly. You say, hey, you know, I'm going to come over and help you on Wednesday clean that bathroom. Okay, I'm gonna be there and help you clean. And you show up early and you actually start on it early. And they show up and they go, wow, you already got going on it? Yeah. And I've been seeing the same people come around here for 3 years now, cleaning the bathrooms, doing the same thing. I watched Margie Wood do the back of these pews every Sunday. She was just that person. I heard a funny joke once about the Catholics, and I don't know if I should tell it or not, but maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Maybe I won't. So I was 6 or 7 the first time I heard my father say that he was going to live or die at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Now I'm 40 years old and he's still there. And what an amazing thing for me to watch my dad say something and then follow it up. Some of us guys need to say some stuff and follow it up and learn out of the Bible how they said stuff and follow it up. God's still working on me, y'all. I got a long ways to go. You know, when Martha opened up her home to Jesus, I don't know if she had it in her mind that she would ask Jesus to arbitrate what was going on in the house. But she did. She came basically out and she says, "Come on, Lord, you know, you're going to tell my sister to help me out?" God was really smart there. He acknowledged Martha's service to him and others. And then he offers help by naming a habit she has. In that verse, he states, "Mary's choice won't be taken away." And I don't know if any of you got your tithe report, but I got my tithe report, and I was so excited. I said, "Praise the Lord, this is much more than last year and more than the year before." And I was just kind of shouting hallelujah. And that's something that can't be taken away. Amen. You know, a lot of us do work throughout the week, and we do this for this job and this for that boss and make people happy. And the first foremost thing we're supposed to do is make Christ happy. Those treasures that we laid up in heaven, they can't be taken away. The rust and the rust and the moths, they're going to be flying around down here on the earth with all that junk. And if we lay up treasure in heaven, it's going to be there forever. Every time Mary was with Jesus, she was at his feet. Remember when she asked about her brother Lazarus? She cried, and what happened? Jesus wept right with her. You know, when we're crying, Jesus weeps right with us. I really believe that he loves us the same, and I believe that Jesus, because he's God Almighty, he can love us the same as he loved Mary even. So if we're crying deep inside, I really believe that he can be there crying with us. Are you worried or troubled about your job, family, kids, friends, or anything else? I want to tell you there's a secret medicine to less stress. Mary chose the good part. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, abiding. We can abide and abide and abide. And before we have service, we need to abide. Martha was doing a good thing, just had the wrong motivation. If you're not sitting at the feet of Jesus, you can suck the joy out of the room, almost like quenching the Holy Spirit. And believe me, you don't want to do that. Is your life a mess? Is your devotional life a mess? Have you ever seen an extremely talented person, yet ineffective when it comes to ministry? In fact, they are gifted in ministry, yet ineffective because they won't work with people that are broken. They cannot love the unlovable. It's usually because they are not sitting at the feet of Jesus. They forget why and for whom they are doing things. It's easier to be a Martha than a Mary. My mother says, "No Bible, no breakfast." And that's the truth. That's what my mom tells me. She says, "Son, I'm going to tell you something. If you just do Bible first, breakfast will taste better." And breakfast came early this winter, Mom, but I sat in the parking lot and I got my devotions done. And you know what? Breakfast was better. And if you can remember that Bible comes first and devotion comes first, I think it'll help you. I'm going to tell you a story about elk hunting with Pastor, just because I have the microphone and I can. Can you put me on this one, please? Number eight. So I think it's on. Awesome. So there I am sitting there on the edge of this cliff, and Pastor's sitting right next to me, and he's got this book out, and I'm thinking, are we elk hunting or are we reading? Which one are we doing? And it's midday, so he knows that they're not going to be moving. And I said, "Pastor, you see anything?" He said, "Yeah, I see 4. I said, "You're reading a book, man. What do you mean you see 4? I said, "I've been sitting here all day looking. I've been looking through the glass, watching." Well, the only reason I got to go elk hunting with him, just for all you that think I don't get to go elk hunting with Pastor, was because I hiked his elk out that he got. And he said, "If you help me hike it out in those Converse tennis shoes," I was wearing some Chuck Taylors. He said, "If you help me hike it out in those," I kind of skied down the mountain, "if If you help me hike it out in those, he said, I'll take you sometime. So he took me to the same spot. He said, you can't tell anybody where this spot is. I said, well, where is it? He said, I can't tell you. I said, well, just send me a dot on the map, and then I'll get out there and find you. And he said, that's all I can do, brother, because I just can't even tell you. I'm sworn to secrecy. I said, okay. So I got out there, finally hauled down his elk. A couple days later, I go up there for second season. We're looking over a big ravine, that's all I'm going to say. And there's some elk walking in, and he says, I see four. Well, I hadn't seen anything yet. And I glued those binoculars to my... I was looking hard, and right there in front of my nose, there they were. Well, they were all females. They weren't bulls, and that's why he wasn't hooping and hollering about it. But I was excited just because there was a couple of elk there. Well, that line just kept going, and there was more and more and more and more elk until finally at the back of the line. And I used his binoculars, and it said 1,200 yards, you know. And at the very back, there's a bull. And he said, well, brother, it's now or never. And I said, what do you mean it's now or never? And he said, well, the sun's going down. We got to get that thing. And I said, well, what are we going to do? And he said, well, we can slide all the way down the mountain. There was a lot of snow. And I thought, to the bottom? And he said, well, as far as we can go to see if you can get a shot or not. And I said, let's do it, man. We climbed the mountains for 2 days. We've done this and that. I've never been elk hunting. I'm doing it. Let's do it. And we slid down, and we slid down for so long that we froze our hind knees off. I said, can you feel anything? He said, no. I said, Brother Bruce, are you serious? You can't feel anything back there? He said, no. I said, mine's frozen too. He said, brother, this is something else. He said, we're still on the elk. And he's like, is it still down there? I said, yeah, and the sun's going down. I mean, it's getting dark. He says, I don't know if we should get the shot. He says, I'm going to get some advice. I said, advice? He says, yeah, I don't have any service. I'll go back up to the top and get some advice from Brother Loman. I says, you got to be kidding me. We're sitting here and the thing's over there, you know, and I got the binoculars. I put them to my eyes and I see it's 700 yards. He says, brother, there's no way. I got to get some advice, you know. So he hightails it. Pastor's gone. He comes back about a half an hour later and there's just that silhouette of that same elk and I'm just looking at it like, I wish I could take that shot. I can't take the shot, you know, not supposed to. So we slid some more. We froze some more. We got down there. And Pastor looks at me and he goes, I don't think so, brother. It's 520 yards, he says. And Pastor's rough and tumble now. Y'all have made him into a hunting preacher, let me tell you. He's rough and tumble. We're in the middle of some shrubs, and the mountain goes like that. And I'm thinking, how are we getting back up there, let alone shoot an animal? Cut it up in the middle of the night. Bad idea. So what do? I said, hand me that gun, preacher. I said, are those sights on? He said, they're right on. I said, good. I aimed over the back of that thing and I cracked one. Boom, bam, and then boom, boom, boom. I shot three more real quick. He looked at me. I looked at him and I goes, did I get him? He goes, well, I don't know. And I said, well, I don't know either. Bam, bam, bam. I shot three more. He goes, you got him now. I heard a thwack. I said, I did. He goes, yeah, he's jumping like crazy. I said, hallelujah. He goes, you just gave us the longest night of work we've ever had in our lives. Hey. He said, we're going back up the mountain. Hey. You're coming back in the morning. I said, I am. He said, yeah, you're going to track him by yourself. Let's go. The night literally was going down, and we were out of there. And I ain't kidding you. The next morning, I come back there. Whew. That's for the next message, so I'll leave it right there.